The elements, penalties, mitigation factors, and other consequences of the offense are clearly prescribed. The courts having reviewed all evidence, will adjudicate each case in accordance with the applicable law in an impartial manner. Law-abiding people would not unwittingly violate the law. We note suggestions that just now that certain persons or organizations with certain background should be immune to legal sanctions for his or her or its illegal act and activities. It will be contrary to the rule of law to suggest that people or entities of certain sectors could be above the law. Turning to, I will invite later on colleagues from the Education and Manpower Bureau and also the Labor Department to comment on this, on the academic freedom and also handling of labor unions. May I take a little time here to make special comments regarding two specific sectors, the media sector and the civil society. Since the city's return to the motherland, the Hong Kong government has been firmly committed to safeguarding the freedom of speech and the press, both of which are protected under the basic law as well as the Hong Kong Bill of Rights. In addition, Article 4 of the National Security Law also stipulates that the such rights and freedoms shall be protected in accordance with the law in safeguarding national security. However, these freedoms, freedom of the press and the speech, are not absolute and then can be restricted for reasons for protecting national security. As a matter of fact, the media landscape in Hong Kong is vibrant as ever, with a total of 209 media organizations, be they based locally in the mainland or overseas, are registered with the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region News and Media Information System of our Information Services Department at present, showing an increase after the implementation of the National Security Law. As always, the media can exercise their right to monitor the Hong Kong government's work, and the freedom of commenting or even criticizing government policy remains uninhibited as long as this is not in violation of the law. Members also asked about the issue of journalist visa. In particular on foreign journalists, while we would not comment on individual cases, we should point out that the Hong Kong government is firmly committed to protecting and respecting the freedom of the press, which is a fundamental right guaranteed by Article 27 of the Basic Law. The media reports freely in Hong Kong and performs its role as a watchdog over public affairs. Whether an individual application is approved or not is a matter of immigration control. It's irrelevant to the freedom of the press. As regards civil societies, I wish to make 2 points. There were comments that certain civil societies decided to leave Hong Kong after the implementation of the National Security Law. I should stress that decision of organizations, or be that individual as well, to remain or leave Hong Kong, for whatever, anywhere for that matter, are based on different factors. Some people may consider leaving due to the violent protests and anarchy on the street by rioters during the 2019 serious violence. On the other hand, we should point out that the implementation of the National Security Law has actually reverted the chaotic situation and serious violence earlier and restored stability and increased confidence in Hong Kong, thereby allowing the city to resume its normal operation and return to the path of development. One additional point, which was actually mentioned by Mr. Gomez, which I think is a follow-up to the a point that I made in response to Mr. Balkin's earlier follow-up questions as to whether civil societies may in the course of as a result of the participation in the communication with the United Nations may be subject to or have committed offense under the national security law. This I have also already explained clearly that normal interaction and activities are already protected by the basic law and the laws of Hong Kong. And what Hong Kong's national security law seeks to punish, prevent, or suppress are distinctly different from normal interactions. As to the question raised by Mr. Gomez, whether a civil society having communication with the United Nations will fall under the definition of foreign political organizations under the society's ordinance, that would actually be depends on the facts and circumstances as well as the activities of each organization. And it is impossible for me to generalize here. One last point raised by Ms. Abu Rosha as to whether we would appeal the national security law. I have already highlighted just now the importance of the national security law in reverting the chaotic situation. If Hong Kong's institutional strength and core competency remain strong, and with the cessation of the violent protests, Hong Kong is moving to prosperity from now. But please assure, notwithstanding the importance and the important effect of the national security law that I've just mentioned, it will continue to be subject to Article 4 and Article 5, which make clear that safeguarding national security safeguarding national security, human rights should be respected and protected. And also the principle of rule of law should be adhered to. That will not only be applicable to the application of national security law, but any laws relating to national security that may enact in future. Now, may I give the time to colleagues from the Labor Department?
Thank you. Madam Chairperson, I would like to supplement our response on trade unions. Notwithstanding the enactment of the Hong Kong National